Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. The music want to keep playing. Everybody knows I love my little song. It gets put a pep in my step. And sometimes I'm in here dancing around and just don't want to flip over. Then most of the times I'm running behind trying to get things pulled together. So that's the truth in 90% of the time, really. I'm just trying to make sure I have someone text me, so make sure I text them back and let them know to join us. We have an exciting guest today. I'm so excited. I felt like I found a new friend. I tell you, God is just moving. He's putting all these powerful women together to create his vision, and I'm excited that I'm a part of it. It's just amazing what's going on right now in the Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries and the direction in which God has taken us. We didn't just get started yesterday. We've been around for a while, y'all, as they can say. We've been around for a while. 20-year mark with Mothers and Daughters in September. And usually that 20-year mark just means something. Joseph had 20 years, you know. Just think about it, 20 years. I was like, wow. And God reminded me of that. So my God, I didn't even think about it. I'm so busy working, I don't think about it. It's just my life. It's what I do. So we, as soon as I finish this, just give me a second. I'm trying to text this particular person. And then we're going to be on our way. There we go. All righty. Again, let me say good morning. I'm Dr. Bessie sitting here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. It's absolutely a wonderful opportunity just to come every Saturday morning. I don't take it lightly. To me, it's an honor and a pleasure. We've been doing it going on 11 years. It's been a quiet storm. You can't do something for 11 years and nobody knows about you. It's just out there. It's like a creepy crawler. Okay, now I'm going to shine the light on you. It's time for you to come out of your underground ministry. Yes, you could say. Because I really didn't want to come out, y'all. I was like, we're fine, you know, going around. You get too much attention, and then you get people get involved, and then it becomes something that you didn't envision for yourself. So we work for God. We do what God asks us to do. We don't get to choose, and I'm glad because I wouldn't know what to do anyway. And, of course, I want to say thank you this morning. My co-host Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler. When I hesitate like that, I want to say Taylor, but, you know, we have this thing going on because my family is Taylor. But Tyler, and they join me every Saturday morning, I tell you, and we have the best time allowing the Holy Ghost just to speak through us and tell us tell the audience whatever our topic is. The audience will know from different points of view because we all have different experiences and different generations, and God uses that to actually speak to a group of people from a different perspective, and you get it. And this morning joining us, we have Van Miller. I want to put Miss Van Miller on it, but it just takes away the power of the name Van Miller. An exciting, extraordinary influencer that has made her mark and still drawing her journey of life. And it's just an honor and pleasure to be a part of that, because there's so much we can learn from someone such as Van Miller. Again, good morning for the newcomers. I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm sitting here at the round tables with mothers and daughters around the world. Our stimulating topic this morning is a daughter's cry. The cry of a daughter, "Mama, you weren't there for me." How many times have we heard that? A young girl, no matter what, I don't care how good you make it, if she wants something and you don't give it to her, she feels like you have done a wrong. But as the mother, we have that task of making decisions that's not always favorable to our daughters or to our sons. But we have to do what we feel that God is leading us to do, and hopefully one day they'll get it. So we're going to talk about that today as the audience come on. Let's see, what else I want to say about. Of course, you can check us out on our YouTube channel, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, PhD. And then you can follow us on our Instagram, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and then Twitter, Dr. Bessie. We're trying to build the social media, so help us out. Go by, go to our website, mdbn.org. That's mdbn.org, Mother Daughter Bonding Network. So let's go to the switchboard here. Let's see who we have. Cynthia, I need you to. Van Miller, I'll be right with you. I know you're there. Thank you, Cynthia.
You're welcome.
Good morning. How are you, Cynthia?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm good. God bless you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Before we get started, can you give us a prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Father God, we come before you this morning as humble as we know how, thanking you for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father God, for our audience around the world. We thank you, Father God, that something will be said. This is always the desire and the hope that will start the change process, and it all starts with the thoughts. And so, Father God, we pray that something will be said that will give someone a different perspective about their experiences. And so, Father God, when that moves, then they can be healed, and they are on their way to moving towards healing once they change the perspective. The situation, the person in their lives, and even themselves may not change, but they have the ability to change when they choose to. And so, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for choice. So, Father, it is in choice that we make a decision to even follow our Lord and Savior. And so, Father God, we thank you that you are a Father that don't force us to do anything, but you give us a will and a desire to move in your direction, and we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, and with that, I say, let your will be done. Let the words of our mouths be acceptable in thy sight and thy ear, and we pray that you're pleased with the work that we are doing in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So quickly, let's go on here. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Oh, I'm fine.
Everybody's
fine.
Good.
How was your week? Let's get a quick in before we bring the guests in. Everybody was good this week?
Yes, great week. No complaints. A lot of good.
All right.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to leave everybody open, and then we're going to just kind of jump in there and just enjoy this conversation. We have a guest today, as I said earlier, audience, Vanessa Henderson, but she's the Van Miller. Just amazing. I looked at her bio. Of course, she and I talked 2.5 hours yesterday, so I think I know a little bit, more. But I looked at her bio, and her bio was so complimentary when it came to, hold one second. Let me just do this. Van Miller.
Yes, good morning.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning, and you ladies, how are you all?
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, I was beginning to talk about you, so I said, well, let me just bring her on while I'm talking about it. So I'm going to share with the audience who we have this morning with us. And I looked at your bio, and I saw that you started out with a gift of sewing, and that's something that I keep saying, you know, mothers and daughters need to do more of. You know, it's a good task. I'm getting some background noise from somebody. I don't know if there's something moving in the background, coming out loud. But I had an aunt. It reminded me of an aunt of mine, Aunt Sarah. She could sew anything. I could just show her a picture. And I would tell her, and a lot of times as a little girl, I was the only girl of the grand, and most of you all know that. And so I was spoiled. And so I would make up these little stories. If I wanted something, if we all decided we wanted to wear pink on Thursday or something like that, and I didn't have what I wanted, I would tell my mother, we have to wear pink on Thursday. And my mother would turn earth all upside down to get that pink material. And I'd pick out it wasn't a pattern. I'd just see something in a book. And I take it to Sarah. She would sit up all night or whatever. She could cut it, sew it. And I can't tell you, God forgive me for that. But how many times did I pull that scheme? And, I mean, it was just amazing. And I haven't seen a seamstress like her. But when I was reading about you and the journey that you took as a seamstress all the way to the runway, you know, I thought, wow, it just reminded me of her. She could have done something similar to that, but, you know, the times were different. But
yes, ma'am.
Beyond that, there's such that you didn't have on your bio. There's another part of you that you didn't mention. So I want to mention this to the audience and to Cynthia and Deborah. I didn't send them this piece because it was two bios, and I forgot to send you guys the other part of it. But Vanessa Henderson is a radio show host. She's a magazine editor. She's a mentor. She's an influencer. She's a community activist. She's a motivational speaker and a wardrobe stylist. Sign me up. I need one bad. she's a three-time designer of the year, fashion consultant to the stars, as well as co-founder of Queens of Hearts International Mentoring Program. Vanessa started her journey as a young girl with a dream that has broad spectrum from runway, theater, film, and now playwright. She's finishing the dream. That is amazing. And just talking to you yesterday, there's no place to really put you. You're doing the creative. God has put you with so many ideas, and you're developing creations, and God is evolving you. And now you are selected as one of the three designers. Tell us about that for fashion.
It is June the 20th. I've been selected as one of seven designers from around the country to do a virtual fashion show to New York. Because normally it would be a fashion explosion in June. So I don't have to go to New York. New York sort of came to me, and New York will see what it is that we have created for the runway.
You know, and that's close to Cynthia's heart. You know, I've been watching Runway for a while, and then I stopped watching it, and Cynthia got so involved, and that's her show. And then I started talking to her about it and got back into it again. So you know, she can relate to that, right, Cynthia?
Oh, absolutely. Project Runway is my show, man. I mean, I look forward to it every year. And Ms. Van, I've been looking at your stuff this morning, and I'm like, I can wear that, that, and that. Couldn't wear that, but I could definitely feel that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, we cater to everybody. I'm basically really known as an industry standard designer, but you know, I'm able to do for all sizes of people.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm just real self conscious. I'm not a thick at all, but I'm just self conscious, and I just real careful what I put on this body, girl.
Oh, wow. And you speaking of Project Runway designers, let's see, I think maybe like 3 years back, I actually was on the runway with three of Project Runway designers in Huntsville, Alabama.
Awesome. Uh-huh. You didn't invite me, Miss Van. What's up with that? You know I was watching.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so I was there with them. So we still connected. So, we're still good friends.
Awesome.
Well, what I know now, you know, because I was saying that, I said, Lord, I need me a designer. I need somebody to get a stylist that can, you know, bring me up and let me know what is going on with the trends today. You know, I think I dress fairly well. I do the best I can. But, you know, I want to create a style that's just for me. And I kind of like that style between Tina Turner and what's her name? Oh, look, Carol. What's Carol's name?
Carolina Herrera?
No, her name is Carol. She was on one of the television shows, Lord. Carol. It'll come to me. That gets to me. It'll come to me. But I have this style that I can see in my mind, you know, and that's what I want to emulate. So, you know, you got a client here. We're going to see what we can do. Bring me up.
We'll work it out. And tomorrow is my birthday. So I have created a new collection. It's called Taking Off a Mask to New Life. I started it maybe like 2 months ago. My dad got sick and he passed, so I didn't do anything with it. And then I woke up and I'm like, okay, you know, I need to finish this project. But God told me that each of the pieces need to be named from a woman in the Bible. So tomorrow morning at 7:30, we will be in the park with 12 models and a team. And we're going to do the photo shoot, and I have a narrator, so she's going to actually narrate each piece to who she is from the Bible and where she's found in the scriptures, and it will actually be uploaded into my television channel.
Can we get – we need to talk to you about doing that because we don't have fashion display of fashion for the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about
mm-hmm.
that. And see if we can do a display of the fashions there. That sounds
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of all the things that you've done and are doing, hard to be a mother, concentrate on your children, and still accomplish what you need to accomplish. I think with the coronavirus now, mothers are seeing that now that they're home, you know, because people do get busy, and the world was demanding, I need you in New York at 12 o'clock on Monday, I need you in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
on Friday, and then I need you back in Atlanta by 12:30 on Saturday, you know, and people have been just moving from one side of the country to the other, constantly spinning, especially someone that is juggling as many projects that you have in your hand. Fortunately, now your children are grown, but there are so many mothers that are young that I'm dealing with and talking to. They're on this show, that show, commercials, and then all of a sudden, you know, they have children that someone else is taking care of. And now they're home with those children, and they have to see, oh, my God,
I didn't know my son could do this. I didn't know my daughter did that. Yeah, and the lady said, yeah, she's been doing that for quite a while. But see, the mother has not been there because she's doing what? She's providing. She's thinking in her mind, I'm providing for my child. I envision God looking at us as busy as little ants all over the place, moving back and forth. And he says, enough is enough. You're missing the point. You're missing the family connection that I want you to have. You're missing that connection that I want you, what I put in you, to instill in your daughter. Not the neighbor, not the babysitter, not even the grandmother. I want you, the mother, to do that. And I think this is a focal point, and that brings us to our topic this morning, the cry of a daughter, mama, you weren't there for me. Now, I picked that up yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's why I called you and got permission to have this conversation with you this morning because that was in our private conversation, and I would never do that. And so you gave me permission to talk about this. Explain to me where you were when your children was little, what happened in your transition to make you make some decisions that today your daughter would say these words to you.
Well, I grew up in a single-parent home, and I was the oldest. So my mother was always out working, you know, trying to make ends meet for us. And, you know, we didn't know any different. I got married very young, and I found myself wanting more for my children than what I had had. So as a mother, I thought that I was doing the best thing for them, you know, being out of the home working, you know, and I knew that they were, you know, well taken care of, but being out of the home working all the time, you know, I can honestly say to myself that if I had to look back on it, if I could open up who I was, I missed most of my children's lives. And I missed it not just out running around, but I missed it because I was out being a working mother. I had to do it again. I would change, you know, a lot of things, you know, that went on. You know, I had both of my daughters were cheerleaders. I never saw them cheer.
Wow.
You know, because I was always working. They ran track. My oldest daughter ran track. I never saw her run track.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, I feel like it's good and bad at the same time, having to be a parent and having to be a working parent, you know, not really knowing what's really going on. You know, I would come home in the afternoon and the evening. My rule would be that the homework would be on the counter. So it was there, but I really didn't know anything else. I would check it off, you know, and then they have to redo it if it was wrong. But was I really, really, really paying attention to who they were and who they were going to grow up to be? Today, if I say to myself, no. And it comes back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
How does it come back to haunt you?
My daughter, my middle daughter last year, told me, you know, that she didn't need a mother. She just needed me to be a friend. Because I wasn't there. And it weighs heavily on me all the time. But I know that I can't go back and fix it. You know, so
right.
I feel that it broke our relationship. Even though we have a relationship, it probably would be a better relationship. But at the same time, you know, if I had not did that, what would her life be like? And where, you know, where would she be?
Mhm. Well, I have some advice for you, and I have some good news for you. The good news is that I can guarantee you a session with me and the Holy Spirit, your daughters, and even your son will change the dynamics of your relationship. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you in 2 hours things will change. And it will be like as if nothing happened. And we're going to do that because your children are here in North Carolina with me.
Yes, they are. Except for one. One is in Germany.
One's in Germany? Who's in Germany?
One's in Germany. My oldest daughter is in Germany.
Your oldest daughter? Okay, well, we'll put her on the phone, mm-hmm. but we're going to get this done. See, God has a way of bringing people around. He knows your heart. He knows that you're doing the very best. He knows that you are doing the work that he's assigned you to do. And believe it or not, you know, and we as humans get sympathetic and look at things and measure them, but God doesn't measure it that way. He gave you assignment. That's why Jesus told the man when he came, talking about your mother and your father out here, your brother, they're looking for you. He said, who's my mother and my father? You see what I'm saying? We have to get the perspective. Yeah. Who are they? You know, I'm here. I'm doing the work of my father. I'm here.
Yeah, and the thing of it is that they say all the time, that I raised them under the pew of the church. That's what they say. We were raised under the pew of the church.
because we were, like you said, if you hadn't have done, because you were divorced, right? So you were a single mom. You're
no, I wasn't a single mom till they all left home. I never was a single mother with them.
Okay. But your job was to try to make them a better life.
My job was to make them a better life, to get them the education that, you know, they needed. That's what I felt my job was, to make sure that they had all the things growing up in a household with a single mother. And a lot of times we didn't have enough to eat. We didn't have electricity. I know what it is to be cold and to be hungry. Grew up in a house without a bathroom, you know. And mm-hmm. so my goal in life was that I would never have to do that again.
Right.
That was my ultimate goal. And then, you know, in that thinking process, you know, I'm thinking one way, but it really affected them in another way.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes what I do when I'm counseling, I always tell mothers, sometimes you have to stop and explain to the children, this is what mommy is doing, and I need you to participate. Give me some advice. Mm-hmm. What do you think? You know, get them involved. And then that way they feel like they're part of the decision-making. They know what you're doing, not just watching and wondering what you're doing. But the good news is they're all educated. They got master's degrees. You know, they drive. You said everybody came out of college. You got a brand-new car. You know, but none of that matters when they have already perceived in their mind as a child, she doesn't love me, because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. They equate what you're doing and how much time you're spending, that equals love to a small child. I'm dealing with someone with that now, and the little girl is only 4 years old, and she told her dad that the man that's with her mother, you know, her mother's boyfriend, said, I'm not to touch you or talk to you because, you know, you don't spend time with me. Well, he's out working and running around and driving, and he can, you know, the courts don't allow him to see her every other week, but she's a small child. She don't understand. He can't get her every day. And it broke his heart. But the point is, I said, you have to explain to her. Explain the court system. Explain that she's living with her mom because, you know, she will get it. But just not saying anything. And then when you get her, you got to spend so much time with her that you smother her that she'll remember that, you know, not just bring her and put her in a room because she got a beautiful room. So it's hard when you have children like that. But even now, God has the answer, and God is going to heal those relationships. I'm telling you, I feel it in my spirit. I'm feeling in my spirit. And you're going to have those honest conversations that you need to have because they have questions that they have not asked yet. But they see you, and they admire you, and they love you. They just still need to have some answers. That's all it is.
I agree with that. I truly agree with that, Dr. Fletcher.
And what I do is when I bring mothers and daughters together, you know, we make sure that that place is a safe place. We make sure that everybody understands you have the right to say what you want to say. And believe it or not, in 20 years, I've never had a mother and daughter curse, holler, scream, even a child at each other, because the Holy Spirit conditions that room and everybody can feel like, okay, I'm in a place that I can say it and she's going to receive it. And it just happens. Cynthia's on here. Deborah's on here. Deborah, Deborah and her mother was dealing with some issues. And Deborah, do you mind if I just give a highlight of you?
No, go ahead.
And you know, Deborah was in prison, and Deborah was there supposed to be for life, but God, and that's what we say, all but God. She prayed, asked God, and God told her he'd let her out in 2 years. And God did it on the day of 2 years. So Deborah and her mother was still going through, because she left her mother, I think, at 13. I'm going to let her kind of go through this. But they were going back and forth. And when you come to the mother and daughter, I tell them, God sent you here for healing. Anytime somebody connects with us, God has a purpose for it, and he'll show it to me. So I told her, I said, no, you watch and see. Just one session with me and your mother. Oh, I don't know. She ain't going to do this. She can do that. We had one session on the phone for about 45 minutes. Tell us what happened in that experience, Deborah.
So I was thinking that Mom was going to be, you know, like, you know, adamant about taking the interview. But to my learning, Dr. B had already talked to her, and she had already agreed to come on. And so we made the call, did it three-way, and we was talking. And so I went first, or she went first. She went first, right? She went first. Uh-huh. And so what it all boiled down to was, you know, she felt like that I had pulled her, like, school and work. And because I'm in Miami, and she was in Boca, and, you know, I had the two new cars, you know, one car, then another car. And then she said, well, you told me that you told God he blessed you with a car, you come see your mother. But what happened was I hadn't been on the road so long, and so I thought I'd like to drive until I realized how the road rage and all the other stuff was going on. So I totally got a thing against driving. But I don't know if I expressed this to her, so she feels like, oh, I got a car and I'm not coming to see her and all this anyway. So I would text a lot. And so it just got to the point where at one time she wasn't responding, and this went on, and I'm saying, you know, my flesh tried to flare up and say, well, I ain't got to be calling you. I don't like the, you know, you're not responding and rejection and all of that. And so it just took me back to when I was young, when I left home at 13, and how I broke a heart in a million pieces, and I ended up going to prison for a murder. I was involved with some people, and, you know, somebody killed. So I was there. So, you know, I had to go for the part I played, and, you know, being involved just there. And so I went and spent 15 years in prison. So when I got saved and came out, the whole new world. And so I don't know my mom, you know. We didn't have a lot of business, and I didn't get a whole lot of letters. So there was still a gap there from a child to a grown adult. And so over the years, I always just wanted to try to make up for how I hurt her so bad, you know. And it was so hard for her because it was a girl. Well, like my brothers, they was good. You know, it was her firstborn daughter who she loved to death. She prayed for a girl after having two boys, and she always used to dress me in pink and so proud of me. And so I'm the one that came out and, you know, they say the black sheep of the family. But over the years, you know, we have had relations, but not, like, close, like, who are you? What do you like? What's your favorite color? You know, how did you overcome? How did you make it through all of this still? How did the Lord, you know, just all kind of spiritual, just life skills, just conversations. And so when Dr. B got us on the radio, she told me that, you know, she felt like I didn't have time for her. And it wasn't about the past, but she had forgave me. And so it wasn't none of that. It was just me feeling like, oh, well, now you're having a moment, you know, and you haven't forgave me. But anyway, so we had the one session, and she told me what I told her, and I told her what I told her. And so I made a deal that you know, I would do better, and that I would go the extra mile, you know. And so we've been, you know, I had a beautiful week with her last week, went up there, and, you know, I tell you, I just sit there and look at her, and I sung the song to her, and, you know, we start crying and, you know, all that. So I'm really just starting to really just bloom into the relationship more spiritually than just, you know, mother and daughter, because, you know, I'm the only child she got saved now. I was the one that gave her the worst trouble, but I'm the only one saved, living for the Lord, so we got that in common. You know, God is just doing a thing, And, you know, I'm just dying to get her on TV with me, and I'm dying to get her on an interview. But I'm letting her have a process because, you know, still some pain there. She forgave me, but it's still sore, you know. And but God is able, and he's been doing great things. And I love my mom, and I always say to myself that I'm blessed because everybody in my immediate circle have lost their mother. And so I just say, Lord, let me enjoy the days you're going to give me. Who's to say I might go before she go? But let me enjoy the days and just know that ain't nobody perfect, that we all down here missing the mark every day, and that don't let me hold nothing against her. Let me forgive and don't let the devil get his foot in, you know, and just keep on keeping on putting God in the middle, and it'll work itself out. You know, I love her, and I wouldn't do nothing for her. I mean, I wouldn't not do nothing for her, but I just want to make sure that, you know, that I'm not buying love, you know, that I'm not trying to give the gifts and do all the other things that everybody likes a gift, you know. So I want to make sure that when I ain't got no money, we're going to sit on the couch and we're going to drink coffee and we're going to love on each other, you know. So that's where I'm at. You know, I'm just thanking God because in his time, he's working it out. And I was kind of all over the place.
No, that's fine. It's your story. What I like about it, I just want to make one correction to that. It wasn't on the radio. It's just a private conversation between the three of us, the three-way. Her mother was reluctant because she didn't know where I was going to be coming from, Van. She was like, I don't know now. I don't want to get on this TV. I want to put this dog to bed. I just want to go on with my life. But when she got her piece out, it was nothing. Either one of them thought the issues were. But that forgiveness, that asking for forgiveness and accepting the apology breaks that yoke. And I'm telling you, the healing process starts. And they were laughing. And it wasn't about 45 minutes. They were laughing and talking and saying, okay, we're going to do this. They set a Bible class together. You know, just the little small things is basically trying to get connected. And that's what happened in 45 minutes. And that was I'd say a 40 some year span in disconnect in their relationship. And then, you know, we all come to the mother and daughter with some type of crutch. You know, even myself with my mother being an only child. And I guess God just want us to share this with you because there's a healing that needs to take place in you. You know, you're a mother. And as a mother, you know, we carry the love for our children. We don't want to be disconnected in any way. But you do what you do, and you put your face on, and you go out, and you say, I got to keep doing this. God is requiring me to do this. But when you get to those moments when you're by yourself, yes, he's going to come back, and it's going to, you know, it's going to come up. The enemy going to try to beat you down with it, but you're going to have to understand what? I've done the very best I can, and you put it in God's hands, and God's going to fix it. That's why you are connected to mother and daughter, whether you know it or not. It's the 200 women is one thing.
I feel like that.
That's why you connected, because God is sending this healing, and it's going to take place. Now, Cynthia, when Cynthia came, we just heard Deborah's story, And 20 years in, life in prison, and God let her out. You know what I mean? You know, and y'all can't get together? Come on now. You know, look at God. So Cynthia, when Cynthia came to my office and wanted to volunteer, you know, it was like 40-some years, about 48 years disconnect with her and her mother. But when she wanted to volunteer, I was like, as she was leaving, God said, ask her how it's a mother and daughter relationship. And that's my key in with people. How's your mother and daughter relationship? Because that tells me a lot. The Holy Spirit will just speak to me when I ask people that question. He's going to speak. And so she was, her hand was on the knob. She was going to walk out the door, and she said, "It's okay." Sort of like, you know, with a little attitude. And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "When the last time you spoke to your mother?" And she's trying to think. And then so I said, "Oh, okay, well, where do your mother, where does your mother live? You know, because I'm trying to think, if you're not talking, she wasn't giving me enough information. I'm dragging out information. She said she lives in Fort Lauderdale, and where I was, probably about 10 minutes from Fort Lauderdale, and where she lived was probably less than. I said, and you haven't seen your mother? See, I didn't know the whole story. And I said, well, you can't come and volunteer here until you get it straight with your mother, because we can't be hypocrites. We have to at least identify with what we're dealing with, and I challenged her to go get the answers from her mother. And she went, of course, she said in her mind, look at here, chick, I'm coming to try to help you. You know, like, you give me a hard time, but I'm here to try to help you, you know. Mm-hmm. But she went. And so, Cynthia, take about a minute or so we can make sure Van Miller get the rest of the time, and tell her what happened when you took that challenge.
Well, for years I tried to convince myself I'm an overachiever with education. I had just kept getting degree after degree. I was going to prove to myself that I didn't need my mother because she was never there. My father, we were separated from the time I was 17 months old. And long story short, I ended up attempting to convince myself that I didn't need her, number one, and that I wasn't angry with her. But thank God that I had a professor that recognized that I was angry. And so she pushed me, and she pushed me even prior to coming to Dr. Fletcher to address that anger, and how she would do that and how she realized that I was angry with my mother. I ended up doing an internship at a substance abuse facility. In that, I saw my mother in every woman there, and I saw because it was a recovery center for mothers and their children in order to reunite them. And I was so angry every time that I facilitated a process group. The first thing that would come out of my mouth is, before I even start the group, I would tell them, I don't like you people. But I had not put two and two together. So I didn't know why I was angry. I just know that I didn't like being there. And God has a sense of humor, because I wasn't even looking to do an internship at a substance abuse facility. My mother became an alcoholic for 20 years after my father took all of her children at one swoop. And so I literally, God had to show me every step of the way of doing that internship, my anger. And to make a long story short, it was not until that day that God showed me, because there was a young girl who committed suicide, and she was 23 years old. She left behind a 17-month-old kid, and that's how old I was when I got took from my mom, or when we got separated, if I put it that way. And so it was in all of that going through that I was able to identify the anger. God showed me the anger, because I never saw it, because I had put in my mind, in my heart, that I wasn't angry with her, but I didn't need her, because I had grew up without her. And so it took all of that, and then going to Dr. Fletcher and her and taking her challenge to go to my mother to get the answers that I needed, that I could find the forgiveness for my mother. And so it all comes down to finding and getting the information that your daughters need, that they can find the forgiveness that they need. And oftentimes children just want you to say, no matter how old they are, they in their minds they're that child that you wasn't there for. So that's where they are. And then until they can find that forgiveness piece, they'll always see you as mommy not being there. No matter how much you was there, because you missed those events, that's what that's all about. I'm a psychology major as well, so I'm able to connect the dots a little bit. But that was my story, and it was taking that advice of Dr. Fletcher that I went, and I had literally 6 months to really get to know my mom, but 2 years total to move towards her before she became terminally ill. And so 6 months out of that time she was terminally ill, I got to lay in bed with my mom. So the story is that God redeemed the time, because you know at 17 months you still cuddle with your mom. So I got to cuddle with my mom for the last 6 months of her life and got to just know her little her intricacies, if you will, of who she was, because I never knew her. Never had a conversation with her prior to that night that I took that challenge to go to Dr. Fletcher. And so we had that conversation. And the greatest thing that I found, Ms. Van, was when I went to my mother, there was 9 stuffed animals on the bed. My mother had 9 children. And every stuffed animal on that bed had our names on it. So she never forgot us. Even though she didn't raise us, she never forgot us.
Well, you know, those and God is, you know, we thought that we were getting on here today and just having a general conversation. But see, God knew. He knew that he's going to show up and he's going to bring this healing into place. And he said that, you know, share the stories, because there's no perfect mother and daughter relationship, and we all know that. You're educated, you're above most, but mad about education, money, position, influencer. None of these things matter when it comes to the heart of the mother and daughter. It's the most trying relationship because there's similarities. We look alike, you know, and we are made up of the same genes and, you know, everything, hormones and things to this nature, and that energy is connected. And, you know, nobody wants to be disconnected in any way from the child. And so God is saying to me to tell you, it's over. It's over. I guarantee you it is over. You will see a joy like you never seen before. And you will hear stories from your children that's going to say, Mama, you know, we loved you all along. We just wanted to ask these questions. It's just a question. That's all it is. When Cynthia came to me, she was angry. She was a little perturbed with me because I was challenging her and she didn't even know me. But God intended for her to meet me, because I went to the Publix to get my back. Then I was eating chicken. So every day I'd get chicken and my little stuff for lunch, and I'd go up there to get my little chicken wings. And I saw this flyer. She was having a fashion show, and so I said back to my office, put it on there, long story short. And 2 days later, the flyer on the front of my walkway, 2 days in a row, somebody asked Cynthia, do you know Dr. Bessie Fletcher? And she said, no. Well, you need to get to know Dr. Bessie Fletcher 2 different times. And so finally God said, I told you to call her. And when I called, she said, I've been trying to get in touch with you. So I made the appointment. She came over. It wasn't about her volunteering, even though she's been with me now for 11 years. It was, but it wasn't. The main thing was she needed to know her mother, because there were so many different definitions of her mother from family members. How are you going to take the definition of somebody else? Go get the answer for yourself. And when she went, her mother told her the truth, regardless of what. And that sealed it, and that broke that bond, and then they began to heal. And I was there, took her mother to the Lord, we did, and she just, Cynthia looked just like her, and beautiful 2 years, you know? So God is saying to you right now, change has come. This is it. You and your daughter's going to be working together. You're going to be traveling together. You're going to be doing things together. The breakthrough has already started.
Amen. Amen. And I had to stop talking, Ms. Van, because I was about to go to the ugly face. So I was like, let me just be quiet.
You ladies are like really saying, because my daughter, my middle daughter, she kept asking me, she kept saying, Mom, what is your story? What is your story? And I'm like, what do you mean, what is my story? But she was asking me that. Mm-hmm. What is your story? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean, what is my story? And I said, if you're asking me about your dad, you know, I'm not going to say anything about your dad. That's because that's what I thought she was asking me. And so year before last, my mother only has one sibling left. And I went and I asked her, I said, Annette, I said, tell me about my mother, because, you know, I really didn't know my mother, you know. And I said, tell me about my mother. And then she, you know, she let me know, well, my mother never had a mother. My grandfather was married 4 times. My mother was the baby of 6 kids. And my mother got married young as well. And so then I said, okay, well, if she never had a mother, so she never saw what a mother's role is, and, you know, and I just put in my mind, how can you be a mother? How can you be a mother if you never saw that? You never really
That's
saw
correct.
Anybody being a mother. How can you be a mother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
mm-hmm.
My aunt was like, she says, why are you asking me that? She says, you've never asked me anything like that. And so, you know, and I said, Keisha just keeps asking me, what is my story? And I said, you know, I don't have no story. And so I said, I needed to know about my mom. So it left me, you know, it left me leaving that space knowing, how can you be a mother if you never saw that? My mother never saw that. So when she had us, I was the oldest. So she just passed all of them on to me because she never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always, you know, in that role of taking care of people. You know, young, I was young, married. My mother passed. I still had a sister and brother at home. I had to take that role back on again, being a young wife with a baby myself, and then here's my sister and brother. You know, so it's been a repetitive, it was a repetitive cycle that just went on and on and on, you know. And I think for me, I have a granddaughter, my daughter's daughter. She and I are so close, you know, and my daughter, because my granddaughter comes and she says, well, Grandma, do I have to go back home? And I'm like, yes, you have to go back home. I said, what is your mama going to say if you don't come back home? You know,
mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm imparting in my granddaughter what it is that I did not have time to impart in my children. Because my granddaughter sews. I started teaching her how to sew when she was 5 years old. So she sews, and she tells me, she's like, Grandma, I am a fashion worm. She loves fashion. My daughter's like, she's just like you. She said, I don't even try to stop her anymore when it comes to when she puts stuff together. Because she says, well, Mom, it's just fashion. It's all fashion is what she tells my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like the COVID, my daughter's been teaching school for 15 years, but all of my children know how to sew. My son has a minor in textiles.
Mm-hmm.
None of them want to be associated with what it is that I do because that's all they ever saw. I was always sewing. They were sitting. We were going to the fabric store, you know, and they're just like, that is your dream. We, you know, don't build no company for us because we don't want to be a part of that. But I
mm-hmm.
know that with
mm-hmm.
time, they're going to have to come back and be a part of what is going on because, I did tell my daughter, I'm like, if something were to happen to me, Aubrey is the person that's going to take over this. So you're going to have to learn something about what I'm doing because if Aubrey is not old enough, you're going to have to stand in that space until she decides if this is something she wants to do or she doesn't. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I, you
mm-hmm.
know, I truly, truly get that. It may have skipped a generation. You know, and I can always remember my mom saying to me, you know, you're just like your daddy, you're just like your daddy, you're just like your daddy. Well, the day before my mother passed, she and I was at her house, and I told her, I said, you always are saying I'm just like my dad. I'm nothing like my dad. And I said, and Mom, I said, I'm grown and I'm married. I understand. Everybody has faults. You have faults. And Daddy has faults. And she told me to get my children and go home. And those were the last words I ever heard my mama say, was go mm-hmm. get your children and go home. And the next day I got up. I mean, I cried all night. I got up and I said, you know, I'm going to go and apologize to her, even though I knew what I said was right. I needed to apologize to her for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But God did not let me say that to her. So I was 5 months pregnant with my son when my mom passed. And that day that she passed, I was at a fashion show that night. I had did a show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I found out that she had fell dead singing in church, you know. And I tried to go. After she passed, I was at her grave just constantly trying to apologize. And God said, if you keep coming here, you are going to go crazy if you keep coming here. So, you know, I had to leave that space and leave that alone. But I just, it made me to be that this person, like, you know what, just do what it is that you can and be like I heard Patricia say, like, you're like a mother hen. So I have a lot of grown children that some of them are my age that are around me. And I'm like, is that a replacement for what I miss for my kids because they're here and my kids don't want to be here?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a nurturing piece in all of us as women. We are just designed to be nurturers. And sometimes I don't think it's a replacement. That's just my opinion. I think that's your calling. I think that God has put in you a design to nurture many children. Don't feel bad about your daughters not want to do what you designed. My daughter is the daughter of mother and daughter. She will help me with anything, but she's telling me, but I got to do my life. So I don't even force her anymore. I said, you know what? Okay, go ahead and do you. And she, you know, she published books and she does this and doing a great job. And I understand she has to have, we have to let them live the dream that God placed in their heart. But I said, the one thing that you can't walk away from is that you are the daughter of the mother and daughter. That's it. And God is preparing her in such a way. Who published my book? All my books, she published them. You know, all the website, she built them. You know, she don't see that she's in it. You see what I'm saying? When I need something changed in the website, you go look at that website. Beautiful website. She learned, and I was the first person she built, first website she built, you know, years ago. So the magazine, she helped me talk about it. See, she's my advisor. So sometimes I don't, if I make her think that she's, I need you to do this because you're the daughter, then she backs up. So you got to use the psychology. You know, I need your advice on something. What do you think about so-and-so-and-so? You know, she's got 27 years of television, radio, media, you know. So I pull her back in. I said, you think God just raised you up for nothing? You know what I mean? He raised you up for this ministry, you know, this movement that we're going through. You know, he raised you up for that. But I don't push it on her because I understand it. And you have, and just as I'm saying to and I think it was, I was talking to Dr. Ann last night, and she was saying that it's not, what we're doing is not repurposing women that come in, but we're moving on purpose. And I thought, I like that. So they will come around. They will, you know, they will, and will might take just your granddaughter, because so many great women now have their great great granddaughters running their companies today, you know. So Madam C.J. Walker, you know what I mean, and that was in there, part of it. Her grand great great granddaughter is running her organization. So God is going to prepare the person to take the baton on. God has the plan, and we just do the work. We birth the babies, and then God will send the people to nurture it and grow it. That's the way I look at it. And they all come because, you know, sometimes people don't realize how good they have it until they don't have it anymore, you know. And then I have something, too, that I'm going to help you with your mother. God has shown me something when people are grieving, a grieving process that will help you cleanse and help you settle those thoughts that keep recurring back and forth, and you don't have to go to the graveyard to do it, okay? We won't talk about that. That'll be a private thing between us. Audience, I tell you, this has been a show. You are an awesome woman. You have so much to give. It's amazing how the threads and everything has just sort of woven itself around from Mrs. Stout and Patricia interviewing me on a show and then coming back and bringing us all together. You know, that was God. And then all of a sudden now she's telling me, and Patricia told me, she said, now what I need you to do, because I told them, I'm the type of person like this. I'm trainable. I'm going to listen to you. We all have our own expertise. I'm going to listen. I said, okay, I don't know how to do all these things. I know how to do what I do. She said, okay, then you need to call everybody. I didn't have your phone number. So she and Mrs. Stout gave me the numbers. Call them and then create your own personality. But I didn't want to do that until I got permission. I'm a person like this. I'm not going to just take, you know, something and run with it. I'm going to wait on permission. And when they gave me permission to do that, I said, okay. And I started calling yesterday and looked at God. It just was amazing. It was amazing at the conversations and seeing God and how much we connected to each other. So just put that aside and know that's taken care of. And the one thing I would like you to say to the audience before you leave, tell them how I want you to talk more about what you do. Just give me about 3 or 4 minutes and where people can find you. What we can do to help you in any way, how can we support you with our media marketing. I'm learning, but I'm willing to do whatever it is that I need to do. So just share with the mothers and daughters around the world what you're doing and how we can find you and what we can do to support you.
Well, I am Van Miller, and I'm a designer with a purpose. And when I say purpose, I understand that God has put me here on a journey and that no matter what goes on, I have to be able to continue and focus on what it is that he has given me every day. No matter, you know, a lot of times people say, well, through the pain, but I just continue to do what it is that he has given me to do for the people. So I am finishing my dream. I actually wrote a stage play. I was one of 6 women for Black History, and I actually wrote Finish the Dream. It was nominated, and so that's a part of my life that I have to finish. I also am a editor with NYSFE magazine out of New York. I work with Journeys by Grace. I am a co-founder of the Queen of Hearts International, where we mentor young women from Africa and here in the United States. And I'm a 3-time award winner for ATL's Hottest Designer. I have the Archie Magazine Award as Designer of the Year. I'm part of Power Couples, Black Couples United. I'm part of that. I am a recipient of the I Am Award. I have numerous editorial spreads in numerous magazines. I just worked on the political side. I've worked on both of Obama's campaigns, and politically we are still out, you know, in the street, putting our boots to the ground to make sure that we are taken care of so that Black lives do matter, so all lives will matter when it comes to what it is that we are doing in the vineyard for God. I am an ordained minister. I was ordained in 2001, and currently, I have several stage plays that I'm working on. I have a couple of movies that are getting ready to come out, and I have a Moscato Van Miller exclusive, and tomorrow is my birthday, and so tomorrow I will be debuting my new collection called Taking Off the Mask to New Life. You can reach me at Instagram, at Van Miller International, Facebook, The House of Van Miller, Facebook, Vanessa Henderson. And you can always just give me a call at 404-290-2239. That's it in a nutshell.
Wow. And all of that started with a sewing machine.
It started with a little girl, 5 years old. My mother used to make quilts by hand, and each one of us was assigned a piece to that quilt. So all of my sisters, so yeah, all of my sisters, so, and I truly say that it is a gift from God. It's something nobody ever taught me. I didn't go to school to get a degree until I was 43 years old. So I know that truly it is a gift.
Wow. I was wondering if Patricia was on, we could sing happy birthday because we got to sing happy birthday to you. I'm not a singer.
Come on, Marilyn Monroe. Come on now. You know the song that you sing.
Oh, no.
Dr. B.
No.
Come on now. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot because you sing that song very well.
I do not.
I can't with her band. I cannot.
I do the Marilyn.
You know what? So Dr. Bessie, what I'm going to say is you can call my number and sing the song, and that way nobody will, because I do it all the time to people. I'm like,
right,
it's easy to text
right.
happy birthday, but I just call them and sing what it is that I have to say. So
Marilyn Monroe. Ever since my grandbabies was little, I would sing Marilyn Monroe to them. And the song "Happy Birthday," and they would, you know, roll their little eyes when it was little, like, oh, they get embarrassed when they were six, and then it was nine.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, Lord, she's still doing it. Now one of them is 25, and I call him up. I'm like, Lord, I'm getting sexy with my grandson. He's still doing it. And so that's my little trademark, but it's private. I'm not gonna get on the air and do that. That thing will be all over Facebook and
well,
everywhere.
Well, I'll expect you to call my number
and
do the Marilyn Monroe.
I will call you. You know, I don't have that voice like Patricia. Patricia has a voice, you know what I mean? So anyway, I thank you for being on today. It has absolutely been a wonderful show. Audience, I know you enjoyed this. I know you learned something from it. If nothing, no more than to be encouraged and motivated to stick to what God has placed in your heart, because it's there that you will eat the good of the land. And it's not about money. It's about that peace, that joy, that pleasantness, this of achievement, one achievement after the other. And you trust God. And I tell you, if you have the faith, you can do all things through Christ. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, let's go. Cynthia, Deborah, let's go.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Ms. Van Miller.
Happy
thank
birthday.
You all.
Woo!
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much.
Oh, that was We can't wait. We're going to have a toast. All right, you have a good one. Huh?
I will, and you ladies do the same. And you know, thank you all so much. I really, really needed to be able to speak to that. So thank you so much for allowing me to do that.
Amen.
Oh, it was a blessing. It healed me. All right, you be good. Audience.
All righty, you ladies.
Saturday at 10 o'clock. All right, bye bye.
Bye bye,
audience. Bye bye, Miss Van.
Bye.
Bye.
Audience. Bye, everybody.